Sing to me of heaven. What a beautiful, encouraging hymn. Appreciate Max leading us in that hymn just a few moments ago. And I don't know about you, but I was certainly encouraged as we blended our voices together and lifted our voices up in praise to our Almighty God in heaven and sung that beautiful hymn, Sing to me of heaven. You see, this hymn is a very uplifting hymn that describes the peacefulness, the beauty, and the glory of heaven. And without a doubt, heaven is for real. Heaven is the hope of each and every Christian that is here this evening. And the scriptures have a lot to say about heaven. So with this beautiful hymn in mind, let's take just a few moments this afternoon to go to the scriptures and to examine some things pertaining to heaven. And I begin by suggesting to us this afternoon that heaven is the dwelling place of the Lord our God. You see, you can't help but to think about heaven being the dwelling place of the Lord our God when you think about heaven, can you? And when I think about heaven being the dwelling place of the Lord our God, I can't help but to think about what the psalmist said about this there in Psalm 33. And there in Psalm 33, beginning there in verse number 13, the psalmist recorded, "The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, that is heaven, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works." Think about that. The Lord looks from heaven. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. You want to know something? That includes you and me. And the Lord from heaven, which is his dwelling place, to be simply put, it's his place of habitation, as we learn about in Isaiah 63 and verse 15. The Lord looks down upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Also in regard to heaven, we're informed of the fact that there are three that bear witness in heaven. This is found recorded there in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. And it's said to here in 1 John in 5 and in verse 7, in the context there, to prove that Jesus is the Son of God. And going along with the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, it's recorded here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, that there are three that bear witness in heaven. Who is that? The Father, the Word, that is the Son, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are all one. You see, when I think about heaven, and when I think about the reason why I want to someday spend eternity in heaven, I can't help but to think about one of those reasons why I want to spend eternity in heaven is simply because of the fact that God, our Father, is in heaven. Jesus the Christ is in heaven. And the Holy Spirit will be there. Think about that. You see, heaven is the dwelling place of our Lord. And there are three that bear witness in heaven to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, the Father, the Word, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But another thing when I think about heaven is the fact that heaven is a city whose builder and maker is God. We learn about this in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Follow me, if you will, in your Bibles there to Hebrews chapter 11. And here in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 8, the Hebrews writer penned, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise." Now watch verse 10. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. See, that's a description of heaven. And here we learn that heaven is a city whose builder and maker is God. To be simply put, heaven is a city whose architect is God. Let that marinate for a moment. You see, heaven, it is a city that is established without human hands or human art, and it is founded and fashioned by the power of God. Heaven is a city whose builder and maker is God. And you want to know something else about that city we call heaven? Heaven, it was prepared before the foundation of the world. Are you aware of that? You see, Jesus makes us aware of that there in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34. And in the context here of Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34, Jesus is giving a description of the judgment scene. And there in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34, he's talking to the righteous. And there he says, come, enter in to the kingdom that has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That kingdom that Jesus is talking about there in Matthew 25 and verse 34, my friend, is heaven. That tells us that heaven, this beautiful city of God, was prepared before the foundation of the world. But another thing about heaven, when I think about heaven, is the fact that heaven will be a place where there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. You see, as we mentioned earlier, the beautiful hymn that we just sung a few moments ago titled Sing to Me of Heaven simply describes the peacefulness of heaven. And here in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, in John's description of heaven, we learn about the peacefulness of heaven. We learn about the fact that there will be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. I want you to notice all the no mores that's found here in this verse. Look at that. Think about that. All the no mores that is found here in Revelation 21 and verse 4 in regard to the final state of the redeemed. You see that final state of the redeemed, that heavenly state. It is one in which God will forever dwell with his people in a state of eternal bliss. Think about that. We all long for that, don't we? We long for a place where there'll be no more death. A place where there'll be no more sorrow. A place where there'll be no more tears. A place where there'll be no more pain. I think about that. I look out here and I see many of you that are right now that are suffering from physical health afflictions. Many of you, as we mentioned just a few moments ago, Dolores is preparing for an upcoming surgery. She's in pain. Many of you can relate with that. You've got physical infirmities, elements that cause pain. And you long for relief from that pain, don't you? Anyone who's ever been in pain longs for relief from that pain. Anyone who has lost a loved one, one that's been close and dear to them, have longed for relief from the pain, from the emptiness that leaves with them. They don't want to have any more sorrow, no more tears, crying, pain. And you want to know something? there is a place that exists in which there will be no more of any of that. That place, my beloved brethren, is heaven. There will be no more death, sorrow, crying, or pain in heaven. But rather, heaven will be a place of eternal bliss. Another thing, when I think about heaven and think about the song that we just sung a few moments ago titled Sing to Me of Heaven, is trying to comprehend the beauty of heaven. You see, there's not a one of us here this afternoon who could even begin to comprehend on how beautiful heaven must be. We can't even begin to imagine how beautiful heaven must be. And although we can't begin to comprehend, we have recorded for us there in Revelation 21, verses 18 through 21, a description of some physical things here on earth that we can recognize the beauty in. And John uses these things, these precious stones and materials that we recognize as things of beauty in an attempt to describe for us just how beautiful heaven must be. Notice with me, if you will, there in Revelation 21. Beginning here in verse 18, in regard to heaven here, John talks about the construction of its wall of jasper, and a city was pure gold like clear glass. He goes on to say the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. Some of those precious stones, some of you ladies probably have on your fingers right now that is used here to describe that. Such as jasper or sapphire. Some of you probably have some of those stones, don't you? And we all, whether men or women, recognize the beauty of those stones. How beautiful stones such as jasper or sapphire and on, the beauty of those things. We recognize the beauty of gold. How beautiful, and things that are made of gold, how beautiful they are. We go on to see there, dropping down there to verse 21 of Revelation 21, another thing in John's description of heaven was the 12 gates with 12 pearls. Again, many women wear necklaces of pearls. Why? Because they're a thing of beauty. They're precious. And here, the 12 gates with 12 pearls, each individual gate was one pearl, is described in regard to the beauty of heaven. And the street of the city was what? Pure gold, like transparent glass. Try to fathom that for a moment. Think about that. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? And it just really puts in perspective for us how beautiful heaven must be. You see, heaven, it is beautiful beyond description. We can't even begin to comprehend, as we mentioned, how beautiful heaven must be. But another thing about heaven that we learn here in Revelation 21, dropping down there to verse 23 through 25, is the fact that there'll be no night there. Could you imagine that? A place where there is no darkness. A place where there is no night. John describes such a place here in Revelation 21, beginning in verse 23, when he says, "The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it." Why? John will notice. "For the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb, that is the Son of God, is its light." Stop there for a moment and let that sink in. Heaven is a place that is in need of no light. a place that is in need of no sun or no moon. Why? Because the glory of God is going to provide all the light that is needed. Think about that. Again, we cannot begin to even imagine what it must be like to be in the presence of God and His Son. And the glory, their glory that illuminates the city we call heaven. John goes on to say there in verse 24, "And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it." Verse 25, "Its gates shall not be shut all by day. There shall be no night there." Again, how beautiful heaven must be. A place where the glory of God illuminates. A place where there shall be no darkness, and nothing which night is the emblem. A place where it shall be all day. All day, no night. Hard to imagine, isn't it? Hard to imagine. But another thing about heaven is the fact that nothing that defiles, causes an abomination, or a lie will enter into heaven, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see, there are many today who have a misconception when it comes to heaven. There are some today who are universalists. They believe that everybody's going to heaven. There's nothing that you can do that's going to keep you out of heaven, that everybody's going to be there. But you want to know something? Not everybody's going to make it to heaven. The Bible makes that very clear. Jesus tells us that in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven." But who, Jesus? "But he who does the will of my Father in heaven." You see, not only did Jesus inform us of the fact that not everyone was going to make it to heaven, but John also informs us of this fact right here in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27. When he says, "But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." To be simply put, as John put it here in verse 27 of Revelation chapter 21, "The filthy, the abominable, and the untrue will be excluded from heaven." Think about that. That's serious, isn't it? Very serious. And it reminds us of the fact that there are conditions in order for one to enter into heaven. What is that? Your name must be found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And what will blot one out of the Lamb's Book of Life? What was Moses told back in Exodus 32? God say he will blot out of his book those that sin. Sin blots one out of the Lamb's Book of Life. That's important. It's important because I venture to say that each and every one of us here this afternoon is one who wants our eternal home to be heaven. I venture to say you wouldn't be here this afternoon if you had no desire for an eternal home in heaven. You would have found a lot of other things that you would have rather be doing, things that you would have been interested in, than coming here to hear God's word proclaimed. If you didn't have that desire for heaven, you wouldn't be here, would you? But we need to be mindful of the fact that heaven, it is real. But not everyone's going to make it to heaven. Only those who do the will of our Father in heaven will be those who will someday inherit that incorruptible, undefiled inheritance that shall never fade away, that Alvin read to us a few moments ago about from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Only those who do the will of the Father in heaven will someday receive that incorruptible inheritance in heaven. Think about that. And may we not be one who finds ourselves in any condition in which may exclude us from heaven. Because as we talked about this evening, how beautiful heaven must be. And that's a place we certainly don't want to miss, right? Because if we miss heaven, guess what? We're not going to miss hell. We're not going to miss hell. That's serious. Therefore, remember, heaven, it is for real. It does exist. And it is a most beautiful and peaceful place. Therefore, let's all strive to obtain an inheritance in heaven that is incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away. For how great will be our final reward. Maybe there is one here this evening who someday wants to inherit a home in heaven, but you have not yet submitted yourself in obedience to the Lord and His will. You have an opportunity to do that this very hour. You have heard the Word of God. And if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life this very hour. You can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ before men. And you can be baptized this afternoon for the remission of your sins. You can put off that old man of sin. You can bury that old man of sin in that watery grave of baptism. And you can be raised up out of that watery grave to walk in a newness of life. And you too can have that hope of heaven. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather that we must continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there is one here this evening who has already submitted their life in obedience to the Lord and His will. You've started to walk down that straight and narrow path that leads to life, but you've not been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight narrow path that leads to life. Maybe you've got sin in your life. Remember what we talked about this evening. The fact that those who cause an abomination, those with sin, they're going to be excluded from heaven. But only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will inherit heaven. Remember that. Think about that. Make the necessary changes, corrections in your life while you have the opportunity to do so. Repent of your sins, confess them to God, and get back on that straight narrow path that leads to life this very hour. And if you'd like to enlist of the prayers of the saints here on behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this evening, you'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation. Whatever your need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song, Max is Selected.